You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here.
Try to run this play in the alley. What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. Joined alongside Tim live in Green Bay. We've got Jacob on the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota. And we got a special guest, Carly Ray, in the house tonight. How's everybody doing today?
Doing all right.
Is that a new tracksuit I see?
Tim, get out there.
Springtime, man. Gotta get the tracksuits out, man.
I could never pull a tracksuit off. I look like a hot air balloon. Got Coach Lynn in the house. Good to see you, Coach. All right. Boz in here says, Tim, part of the Green Bay Mafia right there. You love
forget
it.
Forget about it.
I love that that was over the Ticket King ad, too. You got to love that, right? That's you get that with no other show. A little extra spice to your advertisement there, Ticket King. That one's on the house. How about that? But anyway, we had some news break today. I don't think it was news to us. I know we talked about it last night. And to me, the hints were all there. You know, Wilde was talking about the hints being there. Rob Domofsky was talking about it. Sounded like, all right, the Packers are going to Brazil. I didn't dream that, right, Tim? Didn't we kind of yesterday on the show, weren't we sitting there like, yeah, we're going to Brazil, right?
Yeah, we kind of mentioned that. It sounds like Mark Murphy knew something that none of us other people out there really knew yet. And then lo and behold, we wake up to the news today, right?
Absolutely. So NFL's Twitter account tweeted this out, said the first ever regular season game in Brazil is set. And they tagged, of course, at NFL Brazil, says, and for the first time in more than 50 years, an NFL game will be played on Friday night of opening weekend. That's really exciting to me. And I know some people don't like the idea of the Packers having to travel to Brazil. I always try to find the positive, you know. I'm always trying to look at the positive and everything. And to me, essentially what you've got is you've got, you know, you're taking a home game away from Philadelphia, right? Otherwise, you would be playing at Lincoln Financial Field in that hostile environment on the road. Instead, you're at a neutral site. So that gets me kind of excited. And looking at the stadium, too, it's kind of a grainy image, but this is kind of a cool setup here. I think it only holds right at 50,000 people, if I understood correctly. And they may spice it up a bit to get as many people in as possible. But I love how it's kind of open air, but the stands are covered, too. So you're going to get plenty of plenty of airflow through there, obviously down there in Brazil. But I think that's a cool set. I don't know about you guys, but I like unique stadium, man.
Absolutely. It looks kind of intimate too, you know. Not quite like when we were in London. That was a gigantic stadium. This looks a little more intimate. Looks like they might be able to add another tier of seating maybe there in the end zones.
That's the first thing I thought of, Tim. It kind of looked like you could beef that up a touch, right? And yeah, maybe even outside the stadium there, do something unique, put up maybe an extra tier on that little pavilion there. But I think it's going to be cool, man. I'm excited to. And here's the thing, too. People are like, well, they have to travel. They're going to be at a disadvantage. Both teams have to travel. But at the same time, too, yeah, I think it's the first week of the season, so there's going to be plenty of rest leading up to it. And I'm pretty sure there's some extra time until week two as well, the way they've tried to set it up. So what do you think about it, Jacob? How you feel about the Packers going down to Brazil, man?
Man, to be honest, I'm a little bit on the fence about it. For a few different reasons I won't get into right now, but a lot of them is just kind of the safety, I guess, and like I don't know. It just seems like it's a long distance. The Packers haven't had a home opener until, Tim, am I correct that it's 2017?
Yeah, I believe it's 2017.
That to me is criminal. I don't understand. I understand being excited for this, but like 7-8 years without having a home game. I mean, what are we doing? In a way I'm happy. I'd like to see us reach out, you know, and expand the NFL fan base. But at the same time, it's like, oh man, it just seems a little bit, I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it. I really don't honestly have an opinion.
I will say one thing. Omer mentioned it on Twitter, on my post, that, hey, at least it's week one. You know, we can do this, start the season, you know, finish preseason, get yourself ready. You know, it's going to be a bit of a red eye flight there, a little bit of jet lag, and, you know, a crazy international game to start the season. But then it's like, you know, you get back and you get back to your routine and you go forward. It would be a heck of a lot different, man, if, you know, we're 5-6 games into the season coming off a bye or something. And
that's a good point.
Doing this. So.
And don't get me wrong, I love Brazil, and I know that they're a massive fan base of the Green Bay Packers. I love Brazil, Bolsonaro.
Right, it has nothing to do with the fans, right?
Absolutely not. I absolutely love Brazil. I think it'd be great. I think it'd be. I'm just on the fence, man. I don't know. It just seems kind of awkward and weird.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting too, as Brock says here in the chat, because I seen something come across Twitter about this earlier today. It says, I saw something that there is an informal ban on wearing green in that stadium, that your arch rival is a green team. Did you hear about that, or is that a spoof or what?
No, that's Dara Callagher actually tweeted that out, and I looked it up. It does seem like it's true. And Dara actually put out a post too, and it said, "Eagles versus Packers. Good luck with that." Like,
so we'll be in the all white color rush then.
Hey, there you go. Get it done. What do you think about it, Carly? How you feel about the Packers traveling down out of Brazil?
It's kind of like one of those things. There's not a whole lot of reason to get upset about it. I'm glad it's not in a crazy other time zone. I'm wondering what they're going to do about the flight, like if they have to have a connection. But I mean, they're big boys. They'll make it work. And I'm also glad to have it more of on a neutral setting. And I do believe that the Packers will be the best represented team there. I believe we're going to just smoke them as far as fan representation, which is really cool. So I think it'll be really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool that they're sending America's real team for the international game this year.
Yeah.
No doubt. I'll tell you, man, the chat's already off the rails in here, though. Jake Shavink trying to bring it back full circle says, Eagles have an all-black uni. The Packers could go all white like the color rushes. That makes the most sense, right? This one cracked me up, though. Jim in the chat said, this game is exclusively on Peacock. The NFL can go to hell with that. There are a lot of people that are upset with the Peacock thing. For me personally, you know, I'm already subscribed to Peacock. I'm a big Office person, as you guys may or may not have noticed. The super fan episodes for The Office is just unbelievable, man. So, you know, and again, I'm that person that I'll pay a month of something just to be able to watch a sporting event. I'm the knucklehead that drops a decent chunk of change on these pay-per-views for UFC and stuff like that. So I'm not the person to vent to with that, or at least I just need to keep my mouth shut, I should say. So, but yeah, I think it's going to be interesting though, to see how the Packers kind of play down there, and to see the fan turn, you know, the fans are just going to be absolutely wild. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere. I'm with you, Carly. I think the Packers fans will show up. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 75% Packer fans, because there's a huge following in Brazil.
Wisconsin fans also, I believe if you're in the markets, it'll be on the NBC affiliate. So Milwaukee and Green Bay markets will have that on the local stations, to the best of me. It's my understanding. So, Jacob, you're welcome to make the trek over, you know, Carly, whatever. We'll get together and have a watch party or something.
I mean, here's what makes me absolutely upset. I've said this multiple times on this podcast. Carly can attest. I'm sure Tim can attest. Carly can get it more than you could, Tim, because me and Carly live in Wisconsin. We pay Wisconsin taxes. Everything that we do gets into that zone, right? But for whatever reason, we don't get to watch our team. We don't get to pick whether or not we can see our team. And it drives me up the freaking wall that on any given day that I have to decide whether or not, like, who's in the market. No, I don't understand that. And anyways, you guys remember when they talked about how we're going to cut the cord and it's going to be so much easier because there's not going to be any more cable? Yo, I have 17 subscriptions to everything.
They said it's going to be so many. And it's still blacked out.
It's still blacked out.
I like what Ron Sample says here, though. Start saving now, everyone. Scrape together the $5 for people. It's so true, man. But I get you, Jacob. Man, you can get lost in those subscriptions, bro. Like
And if you get out of, so I bought NFL Plus Premium or whatever this season, and it still is limited by my network, like, location. And so I still could not get the games that were, like, that the Vikings had, you know, taken over, whatever, even though I spent some extra money. So it is, yeah, it is a serious problem.
It sounds like it, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm fired up for it. I think it's going to be awesome for the Brazil fans. It's funny, Kay Adams had an interesting conversation earlier with someone on Up and Adams with Kay. And listen to her respond to this guy who says there's nothing to do in Green Bay, man. Kay Adams, I think there is – I could be misunderstanding, but I believe there is a man in Kay's life. I don't know if it's a fiance, boyfriend, or what, that is a Packer fan, right?
Yeah. And she's a Bears fan.
Right, yeah, and she's starting to kind of – she said, you know, I heard her talk about this before. She's learning more and more about Green Bay because of, you know, who she was seeing. And it kind of feels like – you guys remember the Xavier McKinney interview, right? Like, she kind of pulled that information and she's going, hey, you know, your old recruiter down there from Alabama is actually their defensive backs coach now. Like, she kind of bridged the gap there for us. But check it out here, man. I think she's becoming a Packer fan, guys. Listen to what she had to say. This cracked me up.
I didn't like them. They're like, don't take a home game away from us kind of thing.
No. There's nothing to do in Green Bay. Brazil is the best.
Do they have a Piggly Wiggly in Brazil?
Do not.
Okay.
Got roasted pig.
They have a strip club called the Oval Office in Brazil because they have one in Green Bay. Oh, wow. The Packers.
Bro, the Piggly Wiggly comment got me. Man. I remember there being a Piggly Wiggly in my hometown when I was like 9, 10 years old, right? And it got shut down for reasons we probably shouldn't even mention on here. But anyway.
I can't believe Kay just plugged the Oval Office on
this. I'm telling you. And then you see her reaction. Oh, wow. Like, I can't believe I just said that. So I was cracking up at everyone who was responding on Twitter to that going, yep, been to the Oval Office. And you would be surprised how many were female. I'll just leave it at that. All right. But what'd you say, Jake?
No, I actually, I moved to Nashville in 2014 for 5 years. And I was beyond surprised to find that they had a Piggly Wiggly on, I think it was Division Street, if I'm not mistaken. And I went in there, I was like, oh my gosh. And it was right next, because like Nashville is kind of, you know, up and coming hipsterish. And it was right next to like a very bougie, like high end clothing store. And the next door was Piggly Wiggly. And I just went, I know where I'm getting my groceries.
Look at Doug Pointer, just in case Kay's watching. He said, date my son. There you go. So my man in here doing some advertising for his boy. I like it. Speaking of date my son, look at this. Look at this guy right here. What are we?
Unbelievable.
What a segue.
That's what I get brought in on.
That's what happens when you're late, Emilio. You know, that's the way it is, dude. So I don't make the rules. All right. So
you didn't change the oil on the the car bed?
Dude, that thing is still on the, you know, when you get into a car problem and you start tearing that thing apart and there's eight other problems, that's where I'm at right now. That room is under construction.
I love it.
What do you think? All the tools though from Milwaukee Tool, right? Fuel line M18, M12. Hit us up, Milwaukee.
Stop it. Gonna get Justin, who does the graphics for Packernet Podcast. I'm gonna get him to create us one with the PTA logo and the Milwaukee sign in the back.
Thank you. Like,
we'll get that car badged up like a NASCAR, man. Get it all set.
I'm for it.
Emilio, what do you think about Brazil, man? You excited about the Packers going to Brazil?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, think about it. We got, what, 9 home games, 7 away, 1 neutral, and it's an NFC opponent. I'm for it. The Eagles, they've been tough. We've they've been a problem before. They're not a bad team. I'm not really opposed to them going down there, right? It's the first game of the season. Get some rest. Matt needs to, you know, grab it by the reins, I think, this time when he goes down there and say, this is what we're doing. This is how it's going to go. But I think it'll be a really good learning experience for the young team. Jordan Love can step up, be a leader, you know, lead by example, not by, you know, doing and get through that. I think it'll be kind of like, you know, sending them off to school and they come back and they're ready to roll when they get home. Not mad about it,
man. Can I just say, I just realized next year we're going to have the NFL draft in Green Bay and then we're going to freaking Brazil for week one. Like, yeah, the Packers are going international, bro.
They are, dude. Big time, man. I'm telling you, it's just so cool, man. To think back, we've hit on a lot of the history segments here this offseason. How many times that team almost went belly up, you know what I mean? And had to rely on the local business owners to rally people together and do stock drives and everything. It's just, and now here they are going, you know, they're the league's top choice to go to Brazil, right?
That's this year, guys.
Yeah, that's this year, isn't it? So it's,
Yeah, this September, week one.
Yeah,
and then hopefully we get the draft in Green Bay and then we get a home opener in Green Bay.
Yeah, that has to happen. Jacob said how long it had been. That absolutely has to happen. Yeah. And I think that's maybe why they were willing to do the Brazil thing this year, because I do believe that we will get the home opener next year.
I mean, it's criminal. Matt LaFleur's never coached a home opener.
I feel like he deserves it at some point. I mean, how many double-digit win seasons do you need?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just when it comes to the home opener, what I would like to see in a perfect world, week one, Lambeau Field, right, moving forward. But every other home game, I want it in the coldest weather, dude. Yeah. I just love Lambeau in the winter, man. That nothing ticks me off more than the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. We got, like, you know, the last 4 weeks, we got 3 dome games. I'm just going, come on, man.
Like, wait, that is the flip side, Clayton. You're right. Because, like, the last few seasons, man, we've had crucial games at home. And we've been able to play them, you know, at Lambeau towards the end of the year in the cold. So,
there's nothing better, though, than a game in September, man. Fall starting to set in Green Bay. You're sitting at Lambeau Field with a daddy soda and a brat. Man, it don't get any better than that, though. It don't. So, you could be, you know, you could be up there in the booth with me and up there in the box with me and Jacob last year too, or the year before last. Jacob, that was a heck of an experience, wasn't it,
man? Remember what you told me too, is like when we first walked up, Clayton was like, hey man, you know, maybe try to keep it a little cool, don't get too rowdy. And then before you knew it, like by the second quarter, we had guys behind us that were like, they're gonna get kicked out in the box suite.
Civil ones, yeah. Yeah, we were the civil ones. My favorite moment, I've told this before, I'm going to tell it 1,000 times too, was a guy came back down to his seat and said, they cut me off. And Jacob like literally heard it and went, and he jumped up to go get him a couple of beers. He was afraid they were. So he goes, and as he goes, he said, I'm going to go grab something you want. And I'm like, no. And that guy went, they ain't going to sell it to you. Jacob comes back with 2 tall boys. That guy was so mad, bro. He was so mad. But we had a good time. And we found out later that Christian Watson's mom and his sister were actually they were in the same section as us, just several seats back. Wish I'd known that, we would have went up and introduced herself, because obviously she's been on the show and she had mentioned, hey, if you're ever at Lambeau, hit us up. You know, we'd like to meet. So just awesome people. But it was cool, man. I'm big on the box seats, man. I just love being able to see the whole freaking field. I don't know. It was just awesome. Snow flying, had a little bit of snow flying. We had access to the roof, didn't we, Jacob? It was awesome, man.
Oh, dude, that was maybe the best part of the whole night, is to go up on the very top. I don't know if you guys have ever done this, anybody in the chat or anything. If you go up to the new renovated, like, top of the top, it's just, you feel like you're in heaven. I mean, you really do. You look down and you have your beer behind you. You got everything you ever need. And just everybody's in such a good mood. It was just like,
it was awesome.
Down and the snow, remember the snow was starting to kind of fall a little bit. You could see the mist. It was just like, yeah, this is literally what Lambo, this is what I feel like. If I ever meet the pearly gates, this is like what it'll kill you.
It literally made the trip for me, seeing Jacob's reaction when we walked out onto that deck. Wow, and he was like a kid, dude. It was awesome. He's like, I'm going to start crying. Like, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we had Seth Ruder with us too, who won the giveaway. Good times, man.
That's right.
Good
Yeah.
It went quick too, man. Of course, Justin and Nicole down there freezing their keisters off. We were up there with our sweatshirts off in the box, you know, about 67 degrees. So, yeah. But we'll be called fake fans for that, for sure. Let's get this off here. The disrespect for Emilio, I'm not standing for it. Says Emilio has bedhead from the race car bed nap there. So there you go.
I wish.
I wish I had time to nap. I could use a nap right now too. So we made a signing today, guys. And I did a little research. All right, I'm tired of people making fun of me for not being able to pronounce names. And it sounded like this guy had class with a young lady, and she said he always referred to himself as Jamon Green. That's how his
who?
Correct. Yeah, we. This is a cornerback that was signed today by the Packers. Rob Domofsky said Packers signed a corner who had a short stint on the Giants practice squad last season. You immediately connect the dots with Xavier McKinney. You know how my mind fires, too. I'm sitting here going,
we all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
All right, we went out and got Xavier McKinney. Now we signed, you know, a cornerback from the same defense. Is Halfley's defense going to look a little bit like the Giants last year? Like, that's how my mind starts kicking. Probably not true. But do you guys have anything on him? I'm imagining the answer is no.
What I can basically tell you is that I'm pretty sure the guy has not played a snap.
Jake Schavink.
That's what I'm saying.
Corner room is set.
No need.
Guess we're not drafting Cooper DeJean, huh?
Yeah, we don't need Cooper. We don't need Cooper. We don't need these guys. Come on. We got Jermon. Thank you. I don't know, man. I from what I saw, is he's a very raw talent. I think he's a UDFA. Doesn't have a single snap, I don't think, that PFF can grade. So He's pretty good.
And he's going to be awesome. He's not bad, right?
He's not bad.
He can block.
I don't know about that.
We don't know that.
He can get blocked.
Here's the other thing, too, is Jay Cole said he may be a special teamer. Apparently, he's not. Like, he didn't play it in college, is from what I read. So
he's here to just compete then, try and win a spot.
Probably going to be a practice squad guy, to be honest with you. Now, we'll see what happens. But, again, man, it's one of the things I wanted to ask everybody on Twitter and specifically everyone in the Patreon group that we got was like, hey, how do you feel about position of need? Like, if you could choose, all right, here's the best player available at whatever position you want, is how I probably should have worded the question. What position do you want the Packers to take with the number 25th pick? Right. That was the question I asked. Here's the Twitter poll. So I said, Packer fans, if you had to choose one position, which would you prefer Green Bay draft with the 25th pick in this year's draft? And surprisingly, offensive line came in at the top at 39%. Now, keep in mind, there's 535 votes. So it's pretty healthy size of votes here, right? 39% offensive line, 33% cornerback, 15% safety, 14% linebacker. So there's many people that they're not as concerned about the linebacker room. I probably shouldn't say that. Maybe they're looking at it like the depth of this draft and the fact that there's no, you know, slam dunk, surefire first round linebackers. Maybe that kind of steered it in this direction. They're looking at, all right, where is the talent at in the first round? But offensive line kind of ran away with it, that and cornerback. What do you guys think about this poll? Do you agree with it?
I mean, if it's personally, I think cornerback is my biggest need. Just because me and I think Tim and I have talked about this multiple times, that if you don't get a cornerback, one of the good ones in the first two rounds, it just kind of have that steep drop off there. And there are probably some gems that you can find later in the draft. But for my two cents at 25, or if we're trading back, I hope we trade back for, like, you know, now I'm thinking like 32, 33, something like that. Still get one of the top maybe four or five corners if we could. I think cornerback is definitely our biggest one.
Yeah. And since you brought that up, and we'll go around the horn and ask everyone else too, here is the trade chart. All right. If you were to trade back, like you said, Jacob, the 25th pick is worth 230 points. Let's say you trade back to 30th, right? It's worth 196 points. Okay. So essentially you're picking up what, 34 points there? So they have to make up the 34 points. That would be good for, you know, say, let's say you traded back to 30, right? And it's Baltimore. So if you go to Baltimore and you find their next pick where it's somewhere around 30 points, you'd be looking at 93-ish, 113, somewhere around there. So you're still flirting with picking up another top 100 pick, and you're only moving back five spots, right? So it's wild how the value changes when you get out of the first round, right? So I'm definitely team trade back for sure, but. What do you think, Tim? What would be your position that you would say if – and really, like I said, the better way to ask the question probably is, let's say the talent in the current, you know, tier, it's all the same. Everybody's graded out the same. What would you rather draft? What position with the 25?
I'm with Jacob. If we're not trading back and we're staying at 25, I'd like to go corner. And then offensive line. Those would be my first two choices. I'd be happy either way. Which tells me we'll probably take a D lineman or a linebacker, or you know, like Mike Hebring said, a wide receiver. Who knows?
So, right.
But yeah, no, I'd like to see him go corner at 25 and get one of these, you know, one of these names that we've, you know, been talking about ad nauseum for the last 2.5 months. But you know, if Jacob's right, man, I mean, if I feel like we can still get value later on in the draft at corner, it's just not going to be, you know, a guy who's going to walk in and start for you type of player. So, you know, I'd like to see corner first, but we'll see.
Hey, that's a good question by Jake here. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Let me, hold on just 1 second. Eldergrim had something here. He said, I'm team trade back unless someone like Fontana or DeJean drops to us. I think that makes a lot of sense there.
Yep.
You know, there's a handful of players that if they fall in our lap,
yeah, no-brainer, you got to take them, right?
Right, yeah, for sure. And like you said, Jacob, Jake Shavink in the chat said, the real question, Newton, Barton, or McKinstry? I was kind of taken back by what Mike Wall said about Graham Barton. But Graham Barton was like, Mike Wall was like, I don't think Graham Barton is a guard. He said, I think he's a center. And he started talking about what he didn't like about him playing guard. And I think his hands were one thing. Kind of put me off guard a little bit. But I'm still high on Barton. It's not going to change my opinion on it. I just, when people like Mike say things like that, it makes you want to go back and watch the tape again. Like, okay, what is he seeing here? If he's looking at it from a technical standpoint, that's what Mike does for a living with Process to Perform. Like, he's working with old linemen to teach technique and everything. So, Emilio, what do you think? What would your position be, Bub?
I mean, I feel like they're just going to kind of get a cornerback room together. I think they could probably find some dogs later on. So I'm all aboard protect Jordan Love. I honestly liked Mike Wall's take on bringing in Zach Zinter, you know, the center that can wrestle. That's great balance, you know, great feet. You have to be
Zach Frazier, right?
Zach Frazier. Yeah, I'm sorry. Flexible, all that. And that would be ideal if we're worried about Josh Myers. Besides that, I honestly would rather protect Love. And if we could have one of the big names drop, even better. If not, I wouldn't be opposed to, you know, sliding back a little bit and just running day two and three.
Definitely. What about you, Carly? Do you got a preference? Is there a position that you think, okay, if the talent was even across the board, it would make the most sense for the Packers to take at 25?
Well, that's the problem, is I liked the question a lot better before you asked the whole, if the talent was even across the board,
right.
Because I feel like I want whatever the scouts, like I want a baller. I don't really even care what the position is. If there is somebody that is there, like we know that just being drafted in the first round is absolutely no guarantee of success at the NFL level. And so with that, like I want somebody that they know, or at least have a pretty high regard for, regardless of what position. So, I would really like to have a really great center, even though that's not technically somebody you'd want to draft in the first round. I want to have the best at what we need if everything else is the same. So I would say, yeah, O-line. But if we're going to be playing more man, then maybe a kick-ass corner who's got great speed and can just, you know, can take away those passing routes is what we need. I'd be happy, honestly, with any of them if they're going to be a great ball player.
Did Carly just curse?
Ooh.
Oh, maybe I did.
You're in good company here. You're in good company. Yeah. Listen, it's 2024. There are some words that are allowed now, right? And I know some people are upset right now, but listen, put your stones back in your robes.
It's the most PG-13 of all curse words.
I was giving her
shenanigans.
Jake Shavink said, it seems like NFL teams are on the same page with Wall on that, talking about him not being a guard, being more than a center. So that's going to be something to just kind of put in the notes, right? Make a little note off to the side and see where he ends up. And that's how you learn from year to year when it comes to the draft, right? Picking up on these little things. So
go ahead, Jacob.
Sorry, wasn't Graham Barton scaled down to be like the 10 out of 10 at the center position? It was like right. It was a 9-6-7 or whatever at left tackle, and like a 9-8 at guard, and then a perfect 10 at center.
Same type of thing with Zach Tom, right, Tim? Like we talked about it last year. It's, you know, Everyone who talks about Zach Tom, really good right tackle, Pro Bowl caliber guard, all pro center, right? So go ahead.
I feel like it would be cool if we had you know, I've mentioned this before. If we're talking center, I'd rather go later and get Cedric Bonpron. I think we could get him in that, you know, 126. What are we, 126, then 168 or something? Somewhere in that range if he's still on the board, maybe even at 91.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. 127.
127, 168, yeah. I feel like he could possibly be around in the third or fourth round. Yeah. In the draft, you know, if you take a stud early, then obviously we're not going to go that route, but right. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. There was something else here in the chat I wanted to hit on real quick. Well, first of all, Zach Frazier, that's the one that Mike Wall was just over the moon about, like Emilio mentioned. That's a name to keep an eye on. You know, I'm not saying he'll leapfrog Jackson Powers Johnson. There's no reason to think that, but look up, you know, about week 8, week 9 next year, right, Emilio, and see if he's just dominating at the center position. Don't be surprised, because there's something that Mike's seen there for sure. This is interesting here for Coach Lynn. He says, what if Latu or Verse fall? I think there's a significant chance that Latu falls because of the injury, right, the medicals. Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah were talking about it again today. And I think they actually compared Latu and Verse in that specific podcast. You may have heard it, Coach. That might be why it's on the forefront of your mind. The way I understood them explaining Latu and Verse, Latu, better pass rusher. Verse, better at setting the edge. Both great prospects. Mm-hmm. But you know, just kind of shows you, all right, what's more important to you? Would you rather have someone who sets the edge really well, or would you rather have the best pass rusher?
Right? And listening to that one, Clayton, I'm pretty sure I was listening to the same pod. They were going into the fact of, all right, if we're a dome team, do we want an elite skilled pass rusher with hands, you know, knows all the tricks, can bend, can do all that, or are we in the cold? We're going to, you know, we need a thumper. We need somebody that's not afraid to, you know, stick their nose in 100% effort all the time and show up and get, you know, have to get dirty if you need to. And I think that's where they were kind of landing on Verse, and Latu would kind of maybe be the dome elite rusher sort of thing.
Definitely. And you can see here, as far as the top edge rushers, according to the 33rd team, they have Dallas Turner ranked 10th with a 68. Latu ranked 11th with a 68. Chop Robinson ranked 16th with a 67. And then Jared Verse with the 67 as well there in the 20 spot. So I think it's realistic that Verse could fall. And, again, it just depends on, you know, what teams are looking for. Are they looking for a pass rush specialist? Are they looking for someone who can play down in and down out there at the edge position in a 34 front? That's all going to come into play for sure. But, yeah, if one of those two guys fall, I would be okay with it. I wouldn't be surprised if Goody pulled the trigger on like a Latu if he thinks the medicals check out right. Go ahead, Jake.
No, I was just going to ask if possibly Jake in the chat, or if anybody else knows anything about Austin Booker. Apparently he had a visit today, and he's clearly here with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, fifth or sixth edge rusher here. So, yeah, I was just Austin Booker. I haven't heard a lot about him. I haven't looked into him very much. 6'5", 240. I mean, the guy seems like he's kind of a beast, and he had some good PFF grades, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if you can pull that up, Emilio, or but he, yeah, another one of our guys that was the top 30 visit, I believe. So
that's awesome. So he's 6'5", 240 pounds, little light there for a defensive end, although you could put a little weight on him. Greenwood, Indiana is his hometown. Overall 50th, according to the 33rd team, sixth at the position with a 65 grade. See, the little short snippet of the scouting report says, Booker is a young and talented edge who is still developing his body and skill set, but has the athleticism and length to be disruptive force rushing the passer. Now, his strengths are length, pass rush upside, motor, and range. I love that. Anytime you see motor, man, I get fired up. Like, hey, I think Clay Matthews right off the bat, right? Weaknesses is play strength at the point of attack. Hand usage and pad level, all those things you notice, that's lack of experience. Those are things that can be fixed, right? So definitely got the body for sure. A little bit light, like we said. Hand size a little small. Arm length's good, though, 33 7/8, pretty decent there. Broad jump, got some explosion there with a 10-foot broad jump as well. So
looks like PFF has him at 77th. His grades in 2022, he played 23 snaps with 74.5, and then 2023 played 482 snaps at an 82.2, was the 62nd out of 836 edge.
Got it.
Right.
Okay. Good stuff. Not bad.
But not just, you know, not a lot of playing time. So 3-year sophomore, dude's young, right?
Right. Yeah. And Brock here in the chat says injury concerns, but Latu out of UCLA could fall. Some teams could be concerned about him, sack artist. Yeah, again, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah that said he heard rumors that it was going to be 18 to 20 teams taking him off their first-round board. So we'll see if that holds up for sure. Jake Shavink in the chat says, at Coach Lynn, now we're talking, versus ceiling might be too much to pass on. And it's one of those tier one positions of importance, man, right? It's absolutely huge. It's just you can never have too many of those guys. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. So I love it. Mike Berry in the chat. Carly Ray, are you trying to fish and fly? Are you tying a fishing fly is what he says, Carly. Is that what you're doing over there?
Guilty as charged.
Are you really?
I really am.
That's what's serious. That is awesome. What an eye, man. What an eye. Who was it? Mike Berry. Give him a round of applause.
Carly, so wait. Carly, do you go to the Kinney? Is that where you go?
I have, like, once, but I haven't done a lot of fishing there. No.
Okay.
But I have once. It's just it's really busy and it's fished a lot, so it's a bit harder. Yeah. I've got some private places I can go where
they're fishing a lot less. Go to the Trembell.
Okay.
Sorry.
I will.
Fishing.
No, I'm trying.
Wisconsin fishing. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to get on this show. I promise you that. Belichick has made an appearance. Let's do this. Let's go to the Patreon real quick. We asked the same exact question there, and let's see what they had to say. Mr. Larry Cano said, cornerback and trade up if necessary if they start flying off the board early. So Larry is all about, hey, look, let's go corner. If you got to get aggressive, make sure you get one of the top guys. I like it. Deadfish says, this, again, is in our Patreon group, the PTA Posse over on Patreon. Deadfish says, I'd take one of the top five cornerbacks if any would be available at 25. Else, I'd take one of the top five offensive tackles, Graham Barton or JPJ. If multiple players are available at 25, I consider trading down. I love that the majority of the people that watch and listen to the show, they're like, hey, look, we're team trade back. Because I always felt like I was, I mean, literally on a raft out in the middle of the ocean by myself when I'd be screaming trade back. So it's pretty cool that a good chunk of people agree with that. Ron Samble in the Patreon group said, if they plan on picking a cornerback, it should probably be at 25. Tim, we've talked about that this whole offseason, haven't we, man? It's like, if you don't take that corner at 25, you're gonna have a rough go at it, ain't you?
Yeah, and as we see today, you know, we just brought another corner in, right? So it's making me think that they may not go that route, unless it is a scenario like we said, if, you know, one of these top guys falls to us. Right. Maybe it's not even Cooper DeJean. It could be, you know, McKinstry could fall for all we know, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of cornerback talent. I'm guessing one or two of them is going to fall and end up somewhere that we're not expecting. But I just, you know, like you say, Clayton, is there precedence for this? It's like, when is the last time the Packers used their first round pick on a corner? Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
It's been a while. So,
yeah. You had Eric Stokes there, and I think we would all agree it really hasn't worked out, you know. So it's tough. I'll tell you this, though, Tim. You would have been jumping for joy if you'd listened to Daniel Jeremiah's Move the Sticks podcast earlier today. They done this really cool set where they would take, like, two top guys at positions and say, all right, who would you rather take? Emilio's grinning. Did you watch it, Emilio, or are you looking?
I was listening to it when I was working today.
Yeah, so basically – the two corners they mentioned was Nate Wiggins, right, Mr. Lightning Fast, and Enos Rakestraw. Guess who they chose? Enos Rakestraw over, didn't they? I was like, I started laughing as soon as they said, I'm like, wow, man, because everybody just loves Nate Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
You got two of the best in the business breaking down the draft board.
Who was it they were comparing? Was it Nate Wiggins they compared to DRC?
Like, I think it may have been. I think it might have been.
You know, a little bit skinnier, but quick, you know, had a good career sort of thing. But, mm-hmm. Man, Tim, grinning ear to ear, listening to that thing.
Grinning like a possum in a dumpster. So, you see right here with the 33rd team, they got Nate Wiggins in the 14th spot. They got Enos Rakestraw at the 19th spot. They've got, you know, 68s on Kool-Aid and Nate. And then you've got 67s on Quinyon Mitchell and Enos Rakestraw Jr. So the fact that they took Enos Rakestraw Jr. over Nate Wiggins just shows you how close that can be right there. So what do you think about that, Tim? Would you be okay with Enos Rakestraw Jr. jumping over Nate Wiggins?
That is a possum in a dumpster.
I'd be cool with that. Rakestraw is my favorite, you know, quote unquote, smaller corner in this draft, you know, under 6 foot, under 190 kind of guy. You know, Wiggins obviously has a little bit more of that physicality. He's a little bit taller, you know, but he's kind of lean too. So I don't know, man. I just, something about the tape on Rakestraw, man, makes me just feel really good about him in a Packer uniform. So keeping my fingers crossed that we end up getting him. But I won't hold my breath because it probably won't happen.
All right. Sorry about that. I had a pup at the door looking at me like she needed something. So. She was just up here to bother me. Second group of Patreon. We have AZ Marky Mark. Love it. Love the names. My preference is an O-line player, someone who can play any of the five positions, possibly center-centric. Then maybe we can move Josh to right guard and improve the whole line. You know, immediately you think of Graham Barton there, right? Mm-hmm. Someone who's versatile in that regard. Let's see. We got Chris in the Patreon group says cornerback as the value really drops off early round two, unless Intel suggests they can get Rakestraw or TJ Tampa at 41, in which case I would say offensive tackle or guard in round one. Okay. Randy Cleavers goes on to say, I would like to see interior offensive line or DB. Again, Tim, man, you got Rakestraw, man. I think you've been dropping flyers out everywhere, man. Is that what's been going on?
Yeah, you know, just doing a little promotion. That's all, you know. I'm unpaid, totally volunteer work, so don't worry.
What do you think about these three messages right here, Jacob, from the Patreon group?
Well, can I ask a question quick? I listened to about half of the Mike Wall interview, which is great. Obviously, we love when Mike Wall can come on the podcast. Did by chance, I might have missed it, did he express how easy or, I guess, uneasy it would be for a guy like Myers to switch from the center position to a right guard if that was something that we could do? Like, is that logical? Is that something that he could actually pull off? I mean, if I remember correctly, Josh Myers is kind of a larger center compared to most, right? Isn't he like 6'4", 6'5"?
Right.
6'7", I thought, right?
6'7"?
I think he's like 6'4", 6'5". Okay.
You know, in the past, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, centers were usually somewhere around 6 foot, 6'1", 6'2", right? Yeah, and they're starting to evolve and get bigger. And, you know, in the past, you'd say, no, center, that's too short. The arms are going to be too short. They're just not going to be built to play guard. You know, they're just a primary center. But now when you've got these centers that are much bigger, much taller, it makes a lot of sense. I would think that body top-wise, yeah, 6'5", 310 is Josh Myers, says United Bates, 6'5 and a quarter. Yeah, so – you know, I think when it comes to that size, you've kind of eliminated that problem when it comes to a center switching to a guard. But again, you know, you got to look at the technical standpoint. And I was kind of surprised when Mock said that about Graham Barton, because it's like you always just kind of assume, you know, if a guy's big enough, he could play center, he could play guard. It shows you how little we know, right? Mm-hmm. He obviously seen something on tape. And he talked about him having a strong base. He just didn't like his hands, right, was the main thing. So.
The other thing we're not talking about is the FBI, right? You know, the football IQ, and, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces there on the line, and center's pretty important. So,
right. Exactly. On to the next group of Patreon messages here. This next one comes in from Jonathan Koch. I hope I'm saying that right. Koch, offensive tackle with versatility to guard. If the above isn't available, then cornerback with solid outside man coverage ability, kind of like what Carly was talking about there. If the
above, like Ennis Rakestraw Jr.
If the above aren't available, then edge with complementary skill set to Gary, Van Ness, and Smith. Just my two cents. Smiling emoji. I love how detailed it was. Just my two cents.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Clayton, did you see Mike Hebring's chat here about the not a lot of non-first round CBs or a lot of non-first round CBs playing in league? Love some later round CBs, quarterbacks, really? CBs. Yeah,
that's what he said. That's to the contrary in this draft, to what everyone else is saying right now, Mike. Every draft's different too, right? Not that you're doing this, but sometimes things get thrown around. Like, I've heard a lot of people, we can get an offensive lineman later in the draft. It's like, that is not how teams look at this, guys. Right? We'll go in and go, all right, yeah, we'll just get that later. They've got the board stacked, and they're trying to get as many of those top 50 guys on their board as possible. That's usually how it works. There's a cluster of safeties later, according to Daniel Jeremiah, safeties and running backs. I haven't heard that you can get just as good a depth at cornerback outside of the third round, personally. So, again, it just – when we've done all the mocks, and we don't know how it's going to fall. You know, mock drafts are exactly that. They're mocks. You don't know exactly how things are going to unfold. It just seems like if we don't attack corner – in the first round, we find ourselves chasing our tail, trying to find the right fit right later. So Jake Shavink in the chat says, so many focus on late round hits without realizing the plethora of late round misses. Yes, you hit the nail on the head, Jake. Absolutely, mm-hmm. Man. You hit on Tom. Well, we got Tom Brady later in the draft. It's like, yeah, name another one. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't happen that often. So it's the exception, not the rule, right?
Okay, wait. Carly Rae, are you a Falconer?
Sorry, didn't mean to make this a.
I'm watching the chat. You're a falconer. You hunt with falcons.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
You told me that a long time ago. Yeah.
This was not. I didn't know she was the coolest chick I've ever seen in my life.
Didn't know that when you met me with my three kids at the parachuting place, huh?
I was jumping out of a plane that day. I thought I was the coolest guy. All right. No, I'm not.
Carly's, yes, Carly's you were.
A BA. All right.
I think Carly's the only person to see Jacob walking around with, you could tell a diaper was underneath his pants there. He's getting ready to jump.
I was pooping.
Yeah. All right. Next one. Rich Beck, obviously in the Patreon group, says, excited if we can hit A, good value, plus B, position of need with that pick. Cornerback, safety, offensive line would be nice. Any of those three. And that's kind of what we've talked about, right, Emilio? Like,
yeah,
if you can land any of those three in a starting caliber player, that's a home run.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've narrowed it down to, you know, top two would be cornerback, O-line, safety possibility. Do you remember listening? Was DJ saying that he didn't have any safeties in the top 50 of his, and he had Cole Bishop and
did you hear him talking about Cole?
Yeah, he had Cole Bishop and Jaden Hicks next to each other.
Yep. I think it was. They did mention. No, they didn't mention Newbin.
No, they didn't say Newbin. So that's what I was wondering. Was he outside of the top 50 or?
Oh yeah, no doubt. Newbin's outside of their top 50. Yeah, I'm almost positive on that. Cole Bishop is that name that keeps popping up. I'm telling you, man, he's gaining some traction, and you heard him and Bucky talk about it too. When you get these two safeties like a Hicks and a Cole Bishop, and you go, okay, which one? I personally could be wrong, Amelia. I don't think he was saying those were his top two safeties. I think they were just picking players that were in the same tier, kind of close to each other. Which one would you take? Gotcha. But I could be wrong. But I love how you said the tiebreaker for me would be special teams, and they really liked what they thought Cole Bishop could do on special teams.
Right? And he's smart, you know. He can direct out there in the back end. He can play. He can
that too. Yeah.
Follow a tight end up the field, up the seam, and he can fill a gap. So that was cool to see.
Yeah, and what was the other thing? 6'2", right?
Yep.
6'2", good frame. So yeah. Gonna be cool to see the safety room. Watch everybody's like, oh well, the safety isn't top heavy. Watch there be two or three gone in the second round or something. Wouldn't that be wild? They've just like going on safeties in the second round. All right. So the last set of Patreon answers to that question, that poll question. Maki on mute kept it short and sweet. He said, O line's a big need. There you go. Let's patch up that O line. Do you rant? And Patreon said, I feel the secondary needs to be addressed, whether it's with DeGene, who would project more at safety, or another alpha corner opposite of Jair. I was trying to get an audio pulled up from that podcast me and Amelia were talking about, and they hands down said DeGene is the best slot player in this draft. Right, Amelia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that he's a dog. He can do it all. He's shown it all on tape, right? We're not projecting anything. The dude can return punts. He can return kicks. He can cover. He can be a safety. He can do it all. With size and speed, which is, I think they were also talking about Nate versus, hey, you know, are we going to take the dude that's 170 or the dude that's 200?
Right. And I think they also mentioned with DeGene, I didn't know this, was he a state champion long jumper? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Something about that.
We've definitely met. I think we've said it a few times. Broke state records, I think, as well.
He holds almost every state record and anything that could be held.
I saw a highlight. Jacob, did you see him dunking?
Yo, he broke the basketball scoring record. I'm pretty sure. He also is the long jump. He's a great baseball player. He is an absolute – he's a track and field athlete. I mean, the guy is a freak. He's a freak.
Dude just drove to the bucket every time, just either a windmill or a two-hand slam over everybody. He's got alley-oops. It was unbelievable.
Yep. Tim said, you know what he doesn't have? A last name called Rakestraw. There you go. Let's see. Last one. Greg in Green Bay said, I'm hoping for Cooper DeGene in the first round, even if they have to trade up. Otherwise, improving the offensive line to protect Love is most important. So,
well, do you think DeGene could be Jair? If so, then I think Goody would move up for him.
That's a good point, man.
My take.
That's a good point.
I don't think we have to make much of a case for DeGene, though, right? Like, everything Emilio you just said is a reason to draft a guy, right?
Right.
So, I mean, he could be a you know, a slot. If something goes wrong with Keyshawn, you know, we've got a slot. If we have an issue at safety, we can put him there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he could probably play on the boundary if we need him to. Like you said, special teams contribution. I'll tell you this, if the Packers do in fact move up, that might be the guy they're moving up for.
I think so, yeah.
I said that on Twitter and I got roasted, but that's Twitter. I did say, hey, look, you know, this might be the one, because there was rumors that they might be interested in trading up to the 16 spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of makes a lot of sense there. But, you know, then again, they may be big on Terry and Arnold. They may be big on Kool-Aid McKinstry if they think he's going to be gone. You know, all I know is they better not trade up and get a quarterback or I got to get a neck tat. I do know that. Could you imagine if the Packers trade up in the first round and we're live for night one, you know, the chat's going to go nuts if the Packers trade up, because that's the first step, right? If they trade up and took a quarterback, man.
And the hair on Clayton's back is going to stand up, and I'm telling you, that man is going to be sweating.
Hey, I have three tattoo artists that I've already talked to about this that I will gladly pay. It's already in the works. You already have a standing appointment, Clayton. So
I already got it scheduled. I love it.
Yep.
And you got to get a tattoo of Jacob's bicep.
No, a tattoo of his race car bed. Yes. Of Emilio's race car bed.
I think it should be a tattoo of the silhouette of Jacob's beard. You know what I mean? Right there on the
I think it should be a tattoo of Mel Kiper.
Okay, who in the hell is Mel Kiper in a way?
I don't know, Mr. Tobin. I have no idea. But again, quick shout out to everybody in Patreon that contributed here. I love the fact that we've got that group over there. Greg in Green Bay, Do You Rant, Maki on Mute, Jonathan Coach, Rich Beck, AZ Marky Mark, and the Funky Bunch. Chris, drop that comment down for me just a second. Remember, I want to see it though. Randy Cleavers, and then, of course, Larry Cano, Dead Fish, and Ron Samble. Appreciate y'all chiming in, giving your opinion. Go ahead and put that back up there now if you want to.
Just saying that we should make some money off this. Get Clayton getting his tattooed neck and get a pay-per-view going on.
It will be a live. It will be a StreamYard live. I will somehow commandeer all the controls.
Tattoos at 65%.
Oh, I like it. 65%. I love it.
65%.
65%. That's what
we... Right on the neck. 65%.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Jacob, if they don't trade up in the first round to get a quarterback, what are you doing?
If they don't, so you're trying to get me now involved in this? What is this? I was just sitting here minding my business, dude. You're the one that got all high and mighty saying,
"I'm not going to." So quit asking.
That was the best part, man. I'm telling you, Justin's text was hands down the best part of the whole bet thing there. If I can find it real quick, it cracked me up. If you guys don't know, Justin is tatted up just like Jacob, right? My dad was a tattoo artist. He did tattoos for about 16 years. He said, all Justin says, Goody's a wild card, man. That neck tattoo bet is risky. And he said, let me tell you, it hurts like a beep and makes you look like a hoodlum. I know from experience.
Yep. All right. How about this? If the Packers take a wide receiver in the first round, I'll get another neck tattoo.
That's not a bad hoodlum. You're already going to get one anyway.
If the Packers take a wide receiver in the first round, you have to get a very small neck tattoo of Emilio in his race car bed.
Oh, dude, I'll just get a race car bed on my neck. That'll be
that
good.
Would be kind of fun.
All right. I'm kind of into it now. All right.
All right. There you go. All right. Let's get out of here. We're at the 56-minute mark. We did it.
I have a question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
A real question.
Oh. Whatever. Not on this show.
So here's I was listening to a podcast comparing the top wide receivers in this draft, and I kind of came up with this question of, do you guys think, is it better to have a guy that can just always get open, that the majority of his catches are past 20 yards, and that you know is going to come down with the ball, but Kaz is zero after the catch ability whatsoever. Like, it's going down there. Or somebody who, if you get the ball to him, you know he's going to make some people miss and has upwards of 6-7 yards after the catch average. What is more valuable in your minds?
It's tough, man, because, you know, there's different positions or different points in the game where you need those specific things, right? If you had to make me choose, you're saying, would you rather have a rack guy, you know, run after the catch, or would you rather have a possession catch guy, right? Is essentially what the question is. We'll go around the horn with it. I think mine's rack. I think it is. Because if your starting quarterback goes down and your backup quarterback can't put that ball in the right spot and give your receiver a chance to make the play, you're going to kind of shift to exactly what Bill Walsh had to do in Cincinnati when he invented the West Coast offense. You go dink and dunk and you go with these little, you know, 5 to 10 yard routes. You got a guy with good rack ability. Think of a Jaden Reed. Think of a Randall Cobb in his heyday. Think of Antonio Brown before he lost his damn mind. That's another guy that, you know, you could get the ball just 5 yards down the field and he could take it to the house any second. So my answer would be rack. Let's go around the horn. What do you think, Tim? Would you rather have rack or kind of a jump ball possession type guy?
No, I'm rack with you all the way. This is a Matt LaFleur offense. You know, you make a great point. You know, if you got a backup in there, it's good to have those guys. Plus we got field stretchers already with Watson, and we've got, you know, the Luke Ness monster and Tuck Norris there in the tight end room that can make things happen when it comes to that. So, no, I'd rather have a shifty, you know, quick on his feet, good in space, can create space, and, you know, definitely get the yards after the catch. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Jake? What would yours be, man?
Man, I'm getting roasted in the chat.
That's a good bet, though, that one. Sure.
That is a good
bet. Save the beard. If Jacob loses the bet, the beard's got to go.
Bro, I don't like that. I haven't shaved my beard in like 8 years.
Dude, Clay's going to get a neck tattoo, man.
Man, you got to up the game here, Jacob. Let's go.
All right, we'll talk about that. I would talk about it. I don't know, man. That's actually a really good question, because it's like you talked about, do you want a guy that's just wherever the ball's thrown, he's going to catch it, he's going to come down with it, point of contact kind of thing? Or do you like Clayton said, do you want a guy that you can dump it off an underneath route and he can run for freaking 20, 30, 40, 50 yards plus? I think you need one of each, and I'm going to take a cop out right there. You need one of each. You have three wide receivers usually in a set for a reason, right? At least two. So,
But who do you take in the first round? If you need both, who do you take in the first round of the draft?
Oh, boy.
Nowadays, I'd take an answer out of you, dude. What are you putting value
now,
on?
Now of the days, I'd take the yak. Yeah. And I'm saying yak. I know you said rack. I say yards after kick.
Right. It's the same thing. Yeah, same thing. Go ahead, Emilio.
I mean, yeah, I would say.
Look how nervous he is. He looked like immigration just walked in. Look at him. He's going.
He can block.
Somebody snorted. Who snorted? Who was that?
Jacob, we lost him.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if I could get a elite speed possession receiver, I'd take him, but I would, I guess, take Rack. But, like, if you found a dude that can take the top off, you drop it to him two or three times a game, you can get 7 points out of it, 714 out of that. We're cruising, but
yeah. And again, I think it's just, we kind of look at jump balls like it's just so easy to do, but you know, typically those receivers, they've got a really good quarterback just putting the ball in a tight window on back shoulder throws, all that good stuff. What is your problem, Jacob?
I'm just thinking of Moe Schrute grabbing Emilio and putting him in the back of a van. Of all people.
I call Moe's at 5:55.
And then I take.
This is probably my favorite right here. M. Smitty said, Jacob, only if it's Clayton eating honey as Winnie the Pooh. You're going to get that. You get this right here on your neck, right there, man.
Dang.
It's perfect. In this Photoshop, this side of the Mississippi, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that.
Man, I'm crying.
Y'all were really inappropriate this evening. I just want you to know that. All right, everybody's entitled.
Jacob, could we do like a Fu Manchu or like mutton? Like, what could we do if
those friendly mutton chops?
Yeah, could we like just get rid of the
shaving that beard?
He's not gonna shave the beard. Maybe since
he was 6 years old.
If we have to shave it, we're gonna do it in segments where we get every single style and we,
definitely.
Yeah, all right, Tim, you got anything else, man? This thing's off the rails, bro.
No, I'll supply. I got a set of clippers for Jacob, just in case.
I can't.
Oh man, Clayton, I can't unsee that, man. Oh.
Hey, it is what it is.
I got a Twitter poll for sure. What is more difficult to look at? Clayton with the Jacob beard or Larry McCarron's pinky?
The answer is yes. That's the answer.
Oh, my gosh.
Jacob, you got anything else?
Nothing. Nothing else.
All right. Emilio, you good, man?
Yeah.
I apologize for my comment, man.
No. Hey, no, that was – you had me laughing. I guess Mr. Green that we signed ran a 4.53 40, and he benched 12 reps. He projected him as a seventh round pick, but he didn't get picked up. So I'm.
Was that last year?
Yeah, it was last year's draft.
Gotcha. So that obviously tells you that he was on their radar to try to sign as an undrafted free agent. It sounds like the Giants might have beat him to it. So yeah, we'll see. Hey, listen,
from Michigan. So
yeah. So he played for a big program, right? I bet if you go back and look at his recruitment history, too, out of high school, probably is a pretty high recruit, I would imagine, going to Michigan like that. So, All right. I'm all about it. Cody says, we need a King of the Hill photo with y'all's heads photoshopped in. That would be beautiful, actually. That'd be perfect.
Good.
Wouldn't it? We need to make that happen. Who would be Boone Howard?
I think it'd be Tim. No, it'd be Emilio. It'd be Emilio.
Familiar?
I'm freaking Dale.
All right, let's get out of here. Carly, you got anything else? You good? Appreciate that question. That was good. You're muted. Sorry.
You're muted. Maybe your Falcon hit the mute button.
No. My daughter came down, and so I had to address her concern. But no, it's good. This is fun.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. Well, I guess we'll be back tomorrow night if we don't get canceled for the comment I made to Emilio. We'll see what happens.
I think we'll be all right. As long as I still show up and it didn't actually come.
Unless Moe's gets you.
I see a van roll past really slow and then put it in reverse. I know it'll go.
There's somebody right now going, that's inappropriate. Y'all shouldn't joke about it. Like, what's her name on The Office? What was her name? The blonde.
Angela.
Oh. I shouldn't joke about that. Remember that one? So there's somebody right now going, this is inappropriate that y'all made that comment. Well, go watch something else, okay? We're not sensitive over here. All right? We're not a part of the old camp. That's just the way we're.
Maybe that's why I get along with you guys so well, is I just don't know what the heck you're talking about.
That's probably it.
Could be it. All right, we're out of here. We appreciate everybody hanging out with us. We will see you tomorrow night for PTA Live. Emilio, y'all better pull it together, man. You can't even get a clean outro
on the pod.
I need to get a what?
Huh?
What did you say?
I said we can't even get a clean outro here without y'all taking it. Prince in the chat says all that was left in the race car bed was a beet stain. No, Emilio. All right. Everybody go sign up for Peacock, all right? You listen, if you sign up for Peacock, you can watch the Superfan Office episodes and you get to watch the Packers play in Brazil. I mean, I don't know what else you need. So there's nothing else going on in the world. Right there. All right, everybody have a good evening. We'll see you tomorrow for PTA Live. Tomorrow is Thursday. Yes, we'll be back tomorrow. If you can get these knuckleheads together here, it's like herding cats. They might do a Good Morning Lambo. I don't know, but I keep throwing it out there. No takers. Jacob always gets that same look.
I can join, but I can't run it. Because I have, diapers to change and stuff.
I can't tomorrow. I can probably do it Friday.
Heard that before.
Oh, boy.
Got a Club Penguin meetup. Jacob's got a Club Penguin meetup he's got to get to. Check his injury and stuff.
What kind of shirt you wearing, Emilio?
Fallout, baby.
I hate you.
Wash your hands, wash your butt, man. That's it. That's all.
It's releasing on Prime next week, I'm pretty sure.
You excited about it?
I'll give it a spin.
All right. You better get rested up for the draft, man. You hear me?
Oh.
Night 2 is going to be awesome.
Night 2 is going to be a blast.
And that Bella Vita brought in, authentic Italian. I'm telling you, boy, so good.
Couple cannolis.
Hey, right here. It's going to be great.
It's going to be over.
All right. Everybody have a wonderful evening. For those of you listening on pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go Pack, go.
It's a power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.